Sevilla family, to another edition of the Mochis Men podcast. I am your host, Eddie Quiana. I'm with my co-host here, Steve Ebner. How are you doing, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing just peachy. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. Fortunately, Chris couldn't be with us today. Probably some personal issues going on right now. But the show must go on. We will cover a few fixtures that have transpired over the last few weeks since we've last recorded. It's been since the Real Madrid game, match day 10, I believe, or match day 11. So the Real Madrid game, the home match against Copenhagen in the Champions League, the home match to Rayo, match day 12, as well as the final Champions League group stage match against Man City. That happened a few days ago. We're recording on Friday afternoon. So just to list up those results, there's a few losses in there. Firstly, away at the Santiago Bernabeu, losing 3-1 to Real Madrid. We followed up with a 3-0 victory at home against Copenhagen, and then a 1-0 defeat at home against Rayo, failing to get our first win at the Pichuan in the league. And recently losing away to Man City 3-1 after taking the lead through Rafamir in the first half. And we surrendered that lead in the second. Many patterns that we could probably point out in many of those games. Some good things, some bad things, as it happens with football teams. But what stands out to you the most, Steve, amongst those results that we've had recently?
What stands out the most? I think it's just a overall poor run of play. I think in our last, the last time we talked, actually, I mentioned that we were actually in a pretty good run of play relative to the rest of the season that we've been having. We had a victory and a couple of pretty long strings of draws there. And started off pretty strong underneath our new coach. Ran up against a buzzsaw in Real Madrid. I think we all kind of figured that would happen. When Lamela got the equalizer, what was it, right after halftime? Maybe 10 minutes after halftime?
Yeah.
I thought that, okay, like we can, maybe we could do something here. And then Real Madrid just does what Real Madrid does. They put it away with about 10 minutes left in the game. I wasn't too disappointed in that. It's just, I kind of expected that. I talked a little bit about how it was pretty similar to the Barcelona match earlier in the year, where you kind of expect, with the way that our team performs and the shortcomings that I know that we have, and I think most fans can acknowledge that we have certain shortcomings on our team, we just don't expect to do very well in those games. We would love to see it, and we would love to do very well, but we don't have very high expectations going into those matches against the powerhouses, and that met up with those expectations. The Copenhagen match, that was massive. It secured our got us out of the cellar of that group, and it secured more European play after the new year, which is huge. It's not the competition we would like to be in. We want to be in that top echelon, but it's something. And we get to continue with, hopefully, with three different competitions again after the new year, depending on how our first Copa del Rey match goes. And then I would say the Rayo Vallecano match is the most disappointing. We should have come out strong against that. It was at home. It was against a, not necessarily weaker than us. I don't want to say that any team is weaker than us right now. We're what, 12 matches in, and we're in 18th place in the table. So, but it is weaker. Rayo Vallecano are weaker in regards to the other teams that we played lately in Real Madrid and Villarreal, and even Real Betis coming up in a couple of days. So against a weaker opponent, we should have been able to do better. We didn't. We had a very sloppy game. We weren't playing very deliberately, and we beat ourselves on the counterattack that secured the victory for Rayo. We've seen a lot of that this year, not so much underneath Sampaoli, but earlier in the year, we saw a lot of that under Lopetegui. So it's concerning that we're seeing that again. Hopefully that doesn't turn into a trend. I don't think there's anything to say about the Man City game. I honestly didn't watch it. I've been terribly busy at work. I was following it along with it, but we weren't playing for anything. We knew that we couldn't advance into the knockout rounds. I was honestly kind of surprised that we played the starters that we did. I thought that we would kind of go into that thinking that we would lose. We came out strong, but then we conceded towards the end multiple times and wound up losing that game. I'm not concerned about that at all. That's just kind of the fact of the matter at this point. They're one of the best teams in the world, and we didn't have anything to play for. So I'm not surprised. I'm not concerned. I'm not downtrodden at all there.
Yeah, you didn't really miss much in the Man City game. It was just, I can understand our approach was the same in the first game. We were very defensive to start off because, you know, Man City is kind of oppressive with their possession. So we let them have it and picked our spots. Interestingly enough, Rafa Mir was kind of defending on the right wing, and Papu was occupying the center. So I guess it was to have a quicker player to start off the counter if ever we win the ball back in the middle. And Rafa Mir could do a defensive job on the right if he can, and maybe there'll be more space there if he ever gets to break free on those counters, which he did a couple times. Good on him to get the goal. Well-placed header into the opposite corner from the corner kick, but
wasn't marked at all. I don't know what Man City was doing with their defense there, but I did not expect to see something like that from them.
Didn't expect us to score. So
that comes down to it. So
unfortunately, we didn't really do much with that lead. I guess with the lead, we just decided to continue in that way of playing, essentially, and just find our spots on a counterattack. I know playing with the back three, it kind of keeps us stable in terms of defending, but I don't think we've played our best with that. It's usually been with two center backs, with Marcao. Just when it's Marcao and Gudel, I feel like we're much better playing like that and much better coming out of our own half. Playing with just the two center backs, it's easier for them. I think they're found wanting. There is a third member we're looking for.
Couple of years time. Let's give him some time.
We'll give him time. But from what I've seen, these goals that we've been conceding, a lot of them coming on counterattacks and a lot of breakaways coming for the opposition. It's like sometimes this happened in the game against Copenhagen. Isco would lose the ball at the edge of the box, and then just one pass leads to a breakaway for the opposition. So it's like there's so many players beaten easily, a chance created out of nothing for the opposition. And that's happened probably in every single one of these games. Even the Real Madrid goal, for them to break the deadlock, it was a bad pass from Rafa Mir when we were going forward or already established in the final third. And I mean, it was some terrific passing, quick passing by Real Madrid, to be fair, that had Vinicius open on a breakaway just to, slide past to Lucas to put in an open net. But it was moments like that where we just came undone very easily. And it was very few out of the goals we conceded in these four matches where it was, in my opinion, like a warranted goal. I'd say the Valverde goal that we conceded was a rocket from outside the box, as he likes to do recently. And Man City's third goal, beautiful pass by Kevin De Bruyne, beautiful through ball. I mean, the way it just curved around, I think it was Gudel that was trying to catch Julian Alvarez there for the goal. But De Bruyne came on and won the game for them, essentially. It's just to kind of, take advantage of that possession that they had and do something with it. But a lot of these goals that we've conceded, we shot ourselves in the foot. Bad pass by Alex Telles. Carmona going through a bad patch right now. I mean, we've all seen that evidence in the Valencia game, and it hasn't gotten better. He hasn't really been confident with him, with his game coming out the back. All that passing we do amongst the center backs and the goalkeeper, it hasn't helped either. And that made our buildup suffer. So especially in that game where Man City's got to press you, we're not doing well in bringing out the ball from our own half. So it just tells me that we might have these same issues coming up in a game against Betis. I mean, it's a derby, so I expect there to be a different mentality. So we might see them play better. We always have in the previous seasons under Lopetegui. And we have shown that life under Sampaoli. So I don't expect us to have that bad of a game. Because derbies never really follow any of the team's forms normally. So what are our expectations for this game against Betis and the Gran Derby on Sunday?
I think that it's going to be a physical match. I think that there are going to be fouls, yellow cards. Probably, I would not be surprised if there's a red card or two in this match too, especially with everything that went down last year. And most of the players on both teams were there for all of those incidences last year. There hasn't been a lot of turnover on either team right now. So they're going to have memories of that. But that's the kind of football that I like. I like a physical kind of football. So these derby games are huge. In terms of our production on the field, I'm not worried that our players are not going to have passion. Like I know that they're going to go out there and they're going to be passionate about the game and they're going to be dialed in just because it is a derby game. And when you play for a team with a rival, like we have in Betis, when you play for everything gets elevated. I will say that I am concerned though about who we're going to have out there. We've got some, hold on one sec.
Jason, I can't talk right now. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you can go in there.
Sorry. Excuse me. I got my son home from school today. I was saying that I'm worried about who we're going to have available. Marcão is hurt. We're having some players that are coming back right now from injuries. Are they going to be like they're training? They've been training for about a week now. Are they going to be in a spot where they can play? Are they going to be available? We haven't had any kind of transparency from the team to know, are they training? Is this something that they're going to be in training with us for 3 weeks and then we'll get them back after the World Cup? Or are these injuries that because they're training, they're fine to go? We just don't know at this point. So I think that's the biggest question for me is who is going to be able to suit up for us and who's going to be that starting lineup. I also have concerns about our goalkeeping position. And you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, and it comes down to consistency. Bono is a wonderful, wonderful goalkeeper. I mean, he won the Zamora Award last year for good reason. Dimitrovic is also a very good goalkeeper. But we have been swapping back and forth between them. And you mentioned that Carmona and our defenders are, it seems like there's a little bit of like lost confidence on their part. And having a different person in the goal week in and week out or every other game as it has been recently can't do much for that confidence. I would imagine that when you look back and you see someone that wasn't there last week, it can kind of get in your mind, get in your head. Like, how are they going to react the same way to these back passes? Are they going to be able to play the ball out in the same way that you're expecting it to come? You need to have some consistency in goal. So at this point, it concerns me. And I don't think that either of them, like whoever we start in the match, rather, against Betis, is going to... it's too late now, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's too late now to try and build up that consistency because we've already, like the last two games we've played, we've had different goalkeepers. So whoever comes in on, is it Saturday or Sunday? I think it's the 6th.
Sunday. Right? Sunday, yeah.
So whoever comes in on Sunday is still not going to have any kind of consistency with this back line, especially with how Sampaoli is, I don't know, they're trying out how many different formations and how many different personnel within those formations too, as he kind of gets a feel for the team. Mm-hmm. So the consistency is what we're lacking. We went through all of last year, all of the year before, and most of the year before that with Bono, Fernando, and then Carlos and Koundé. Like those four formed like the foundation. We don't have that. We don't have the players for that right now. And we're making the best of what we can with it. And so that concerns me as well. Is like, what are we going to come out with in terms of defense?
I know Fernando and Nyanzu were training with the group.
Yeah.
But yeah, who knows whether it'll be available. I've been waiting for Fernando for a while, but he's been out with Mono, right?
Yeah. But it's and like, I mean, that's not something you can get over easily. Like it's.
Yeah. For me, like I've said this in my comments on the Man City game, that I'm just waiting for the break to arrive. Honestly, I think everyone needs this, from the players to the board and the fans as well. Like they need a break. This hasn't started well. It's not like we're not going to start some kind of momentum that's going to bring us into January.
Like we've only got three games left.
Yeah. Sampaoli needs time with this team, but beat Betis. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Like beat Betis. Like I know that's we expected these positions to be reversed because Betis are still scum. But it's a team tied for third against a team that's tied for 17th right now. It's we could expect that difference to show on the pitch. But how these games go, you know, it's and this intense of a rivalry. I don't think that'll be the case at all. Especially with the players we have. Likewise, I struggle to picture an 11 for this team. I hope we could at least have a solid back four with whichever goalkeeper we decide to start. I mean, we've seen the Rekic finally come back from injury against Man City. Hopefully he could slot in there with Goodell, who's been very reliable this last couple months. The midfield, we'll see what we'll have to do with that. I still think that's an issue, especially when we're bringing up how we struggle with the buildup. It's not just on the center backs, it's on these midfielders and how they receive the ball. Because I see it, Rakitic not making a great touch, and then us losing that ball in our own half. So it's like it's even players like that you would expect to at least dig us out of some situations that are making some of these errors. Or committing some of these errors, so it's a team thing. I can't really single out any one player for why we're playing this badly, but we do have some positives. I mean, Lamela has been one of our outstanding players in amongst the forwards. It'll be nice to have Oliver since he can't play in the Champions League. Rayo, he tried. He was in and amongst the play there. It's just the play symptomatic of the team not being able to create chances. So learning to play with a forward and Rafa Mir, I still don't. He was taking shots, his usual, you know, low percentage shots that he was taking against Man City. Like after the goal, he would take like shots from wide angles and what have you. It's like you're in a good position. You could do more with the ball there. I think he still needs to learn that. But I think a big game like this could make any player play differently. So I do have hopes that we can get a result there at the Via Marin, but I expect us out of the remaining games, we have Betis, Real Sociedad midweek, and Velarde that we drew in the Copa del Rey. I only expect us to win the Copa del Rey match. That's a regional team that we're playing. So at least to win that game. Because, I mean, Real Sociedad is getting the results as well. I think they went, they came out group winners in their Europa League, in their Europa League group.
So did Betis too, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's just Betis, all right? We don't need to worry about them. I guess I'm fairly confident just because it's I'm a Sevillista. We're playing up against Betis. I feel like we could beat them at any time, no matter what we're going through. But you have to face reality that we're not playing well. Can't even have a settled 11 to put out there. There's no Isco because he's suspended. And the various injuries haven't been with Fernando for God knows how long. So We shall see.
Yeah, like these next three games before this extended break for the World Cup, I think all three of them are either difficult or trap games in terms of the Copa del Rey game. We've got a game against Betis, a game against Real Sociedad. All of them are in top five right now, right?
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, we're almost halfway through the season at this point. We're almost a third away through the season at this point. It feels like we're halfway because we're coming up on this giant break right before the holiday season, and that's different this year. But still, like we have played enough matches in this competition to know kind of who is playing really well and who's not, and whether like the outliers have kind of, or the blips have kind of all settled into a spot right now. And these are two teams that are clicking really well. And you throw the fact that it's a derby match against Betis in there too. We, our players are going to be dialed in. Our players know how much this means to the community and to the team and to the fans. Betis knows the exact same thing. Like they're all well aware of how much this means for them and their fans too. So it's not going to be an easy game. It'll be an intense game. It will not be easy for either team. And then by God, the match against in the Copa del Rey, like that, I think that is going to be more difficult than what we think it is too, because or what we're talking about or what we're considering, just because of the way the format has changed in Copa del Rey over the last, what was it, 2 years ago? Yeah. When they switched it up, so it's single elimination. Mm. This is our opponent's biggest match so far this year. They are going to come into this match like it's a final. And how many times have we seen over the last 2 years or 3 years since they've done this format, where it's a single leg, that the top division teams will get beat by third, fourth, fifth division teams on a fairly regular basis? That seems like each round there's at least one of them.
Yeah.
Until you get to like the round of 16 or whatnot. So we need to make sure that we're dialed in there too. I don't think we need to, I'd be surprised if we played our starters. But at the same time, there's nothing that we have to save our starters for. We have an extended break for the World Cup right afterwards. Mm. So it's not like we're coming up in 3 days' time to play another match. So I'm interested to see what we have there, but concerning just because of the competition itself. It's probably my favorite competition that we play in terms of like, here in the States, we have the phrase like any given Sunday for football or for NFL football, where it's like, doesn't matter like what your record is, any given Sunday, any team can win. Yeah. And that's kind of what Copa del Rey is now, since they've made that change to single legs. And I like it. It's good for the competition, but it makes me, oh my gosh, it makes me pins and needles whenever we play a match in that competition.
Sure. I much prefer this format. So I was glad when that got decided. And like you said, any given Sunday, I mean, I think football overall has improved over the years. So even teams that they're in the regional divisions. I don't know if that's fifth or sixth division, but Regional Preferente, I don't know where that is, but they're in Santander somewhere. I've never heard of this team, but you can't underestimate anybody these days. Just to highlight some few things happening in Civismo, just to shout out to Inma Gabaro out of the women's team, who came out top scorer in the win at the under 20s World Cup. She finally got her first call up to this Spanish national team. They got two friendlies coming up against Argentina and Japan in a couple weeks. So she has her first call up with the national team. Good for her. She's on the up and up and has been improving since that tournament in the summer. There is also an incident that we need to bring up that happened at the Man City game. Unfortunately, there were a couple members from amongst the Sevilla fans that traveled that have been accused of, of racist and xenophobic chants. I think it was monkey chants, to be fair. Sevilla have come out with a statement on this. It's a fairly short statement. I'm just going to read here. Sevilla FC strongly condemned the behavior of two fans in the away section of Man City Stadium who were identified and accused of allegedly behaving in a racist manner towards Man City player Rico Lewis, That was the right back playing that started for Man City. Sevilla FC are awaiting official confirmation of these facts, of which they have been made aware by Man City. And if these are proven, the two fans will be removed from the list of members. They also said Sevilla FC would like to point out that there have never been any racist or xenophobic episodes at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium, and that his fans have always been committed to fight against racism. I'm glad they came out with the statement on this, but I feel like that the last line didn't need to be said, that there hasn't been any incidents. It's kind of trying to cover themselves, I think. They don't need to say that.
They could have stopped after the second paragraph.
Yeah. That was fine, what they had said there. Yep. They don't need to try to brush it up. But I think I didn't realize this happened. I think I only found out today because I didn't really pay attention to the news cycle. But I also realized there was an incident in two of the youth matches against Dortmund. And this was back to back. There was Abdoulaye Camara, who was an under-19 player in Dortmund. I'm still going to say allegedly here because this hasn't been confirmed by the referees in those games. And Dortmund had come out and it wasn't proven that this happened. But apparently, according to Camara, he was racially abused by the same player in subsequent games. So it happened in the first game in Seville and then in the second game away to Dortmund. And this is one of the youth players. So the youth player wasn't mentioned, but he was substituted in the second game at halftime because he brought it up to the fourth official and they did not see anything or hear anything. So nothing was done about that. I haven't seen a statement on that from the club, but they came out with a statement here, which I'm satisfied with, but it's just to show that these things happen in the game still. It's good to point that out, and I'm glad that they'll take further actions if this is proven, if they're proven guilty, because these two fans at the Man City game had been arrested. What are your general thoughts on this, Steve?
Oh, I've got so many thoughts on this. It's sad that we're in 2022 and this is happening at major sporting events. It's something that the club rightfully should come out against very strongly. And I think that those first two paragraphs in their statement did. Let's see if they actually back it up. I hope that they do. I hope that they follow up this with action if it is warranted. That's really all I have to say about that first one. And then Dortmund, if it did happen, and I don't want to downplay it. If it did happen, then the club knows who it is. This is not the first time that it's happened. If he did it in back-to-back games, it's probably not the first time that it's happened ever. The club knows it and they should address it accordingly as well. I hope that the club that we love has the integrity to do so. If it's not in the public light, I hope that they're not just making a stance on this now because it was picked up by a news organization and these fans were arrested. I hope that this is something that they can have integrity in and stand for going forward in the future.
Well said. These are things that happen in the real world, in society as well. It's always disappointing when it happens. There's like, the man is light-skinned too. You know what I mean? Like, there's Spanish people that are darker than him. So it's like, what are we doing here?
17 years old.
17 years old.
Yeah. And he's a
great game.
This is a great kid.
Yeah. I mean, we all bleed the same.
Yeah.
Simple as. But we will move on, and we might record after the Betis game. We're not sure what our schedules are like. It's been hectic for all three of us during this time. That's why the recordings have been this far apart. But we shall see you guys soon, definitely before the World Cup break. But on to the Betis game. We will get all 3 points there. I guarantee it. You heard it here first. But having said all that, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos campeón. Did we make it?